Well, I put on these gloves. These are receiver gloves used in football. And before you had these kinds of gloves to assist you in catching a ball, you had to use your bare hands, right? So nowadays, teams have these little aids where they can, you know, catch the ball, fast-flying football a little bit easier. But back in the old days, you had to go old school. Now, there were a few teams, the Raiders in particular, who found kind of a workaround, you know, not having, you know, gloves to use. They found a gooey substance that they would kind of put on their hands and body, and they called it Stick'Em.
It was flypaper in a can, and it went by the name of Stick'Em.
Freddie Blitnikoff comes to mind. My locker was right next to Freddie's. He would take Stick'Em all over the forearms, all over that tape to make it a real sticky surface, and he would put it on the inside of his sock on each side, and that was his supply during the course of a game. When he needed Stick'Em, he reached down and get the Stick'Em off his socks. And then after he catches his first pass, then you got to go right to the official and get a new ball and change balls. It was all sticky, and he was that way the entire game, just a mess.
So Peyton Manning, who has a series that kind of looks into NFL history, recently interviewed Hall of Fame receiver from the Raiders, Fred Biletnikoff, and he pulled out a jar of this Stick'Em to kind of show Peyton how it would work, and he kind of spread it on his body so he could get a feel of the stickiness. Well, let me tell you something. At Turning Point, we spare no expense. So we went out and found some jars of Stick'Em, and here's what we're going to do. As you leave today, the ushers are going to put a little bit of Stick'Em on your hands so you can feel how sticky it is. No, we're really not going to do that. But I would like for the kind of the stickiness of Stick'Em to stick in our mind as we talk again today about our identity in Christ. We're in a section in our Colossians study where we've slowed down to really examine the truth of our identity in Him. And there are three phrases with some truth behind each of those that's important for us to understand. We've talked about what it means to be in Him. We focused on that last week. The miracle that takes place in us when we are in Him, and He changes our heart and life, makes us a brand new creation. It's an incredible, instantaneous change that happens in us. Today we're going to talk about with Him. Next week we're going to focus on Him in us. Now, as we think about this idea of being with Him, I do want us to kind of draw our attention to sticking in Christ, sticking with Him. I want that to be the imagery of the day and really the lesson of the day. Stick with Him. Now, another word that we could use to describe kind of this same idea of stickiness is the word endurance. So today I want us to talk about being with Him in a way that underscores, like, if we're going to make it through life with our faith intact, then we have to stick with Him. Now, it's hard to make it through life anyway, but life with faith has a challenge because everything that's happening to us or around us really wants to persuade us to drop our identity in Christ, hang it up, and just kind of quit on God. Over the last few months, we've seen more people requesting, like, can you pray for me? Because I just don't feel like I'm going to make it. There's something happening in my family. There's something happening at work. And I'm lacking the endurance that I need to keep going. Pray for me. Offer a word of encouragement. Stir up my spirit so that I can just kind of make it another day. I really think, honestly, a lot of that feeling of just frustration and needing endurance is stirred up by just the whole COVID thing. I mean, we're all tired of it. And there's a fatigue factor that leaks in, and there's a frustration, and people are feeling the need for something else to help them to stick with Him. Today, our identity in Christ, you've got to encourage yourself, strengthen yourself to stick with Jesus. Now, you may not be aware of this, but there were a lot of disciples in the Bible during Jesus' time who quit on Jesus. In John 6:66, isn't that an interesting reference? 6:66. Here's what we read. At this point, many of his, talking about Jesus, disciples turned away and deserted him. It started to get hard to follow Jesus, and Jesus had high expectations of his followers, and he didn't diminish those because of what they were walking through. And so because of all of this, they just turned away and quit following him. And Jesus, in his disappointment, looked at the 12 and asked them, are you going to quit on me too? And then Peter, speaking up for the 12, and really all of us, said this to Jesus, well, where else will we go? Where else would we turn to find meaning in life? Because your words have meaning. Your words help sustain us. So where else would we go? To who else would we turn? Today, as we're thinking about our identity in Christ, as disciples of Jesus, part of our identity is found in our willingness to stick with him. And so today, let me encourage you with this. Don't uproot yourself from Christ. Stick with him. Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Colossians, was wanting to encourage one of his young ministry proteges, and so he wrote to him about sticking with Jesus, and he pointed out this, what happens when we don't. He writes in 1 Timothy, here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof, public sinner number one, of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. And now, I'm passing this gospel work on to you, my son Timothy. Do this well. Now watch these words. Fearless in your struggle, keeping a firm grip on your faith and on yourself. After all, this is a fight we're in. Come on. Walking through life is difficult. Keeping your faith intact is difficult. It is a spiritual fight. There are some, you know, who by relaxing their grip and thinking anything goes, have made a thorough mess of their faith. Literally, those words mean they have shipwrecked their faith. Hymenaeus and Alexander are two of them. Listen, if you want to make a mess of your life, if you want your faith to get shipwrecked, then you just give up on God. But if you want to make it through life with your faith intact, your spiritual life whole, if you want to succeed, if you will, in your spiritual life, then you're going to have to stick with him. Now, I want you to take your Bible, open with me to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to go back to this section that we've been combing through over the last couple of weeks, verses 6 through 15, and we're gonna focus on this part of our identity as a disciple. Disciples are people who stick with Jesus, all right? Now, there are three benefits, if you will, that are going to happen when you make the decision to stick with Jesus. I don't always kind of build a sermon this way, but this one just kind of happened this way, where everything starts with an S, all right? So you ought to mark these down. These are benefits for you sticking with Jesus. One, it will shape you. Second, it will strengthen you. And third, it will safeguard you. Shape, strength, safeguarding. Let's take a look at this. Look at verse 13. Paul writes, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. We talked about that last week. In him, we've got this new nature in Christ. He says, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Now notice that terminology, with Christ, with him. Part of our identity is found by being connected and linked with him. And when we're linked with him, it shapes who we are. Look at verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Now, let me draw your attention on that word, continue. This part of the verse, continue to follow him, was written in its original form in a present tense, an active tense, which indicates continuous action. You got to keep following him. You got to keep walking with Jesus. Being with him means continuously sticking with him day after day. Day after day. Now, there's a couple of ways when you stick with Jesus that closely that it will shape you. First of all, it's going to mold your character so that you become more and more like Jesus. When you stick with him, he's going to shape your character so that you become more and more like Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says this, "Whoever claims to abide in him must walk as Jesus walked." Now let's admit, if we can go down a path in life where there's not much resistance and things feel easy, we can kind of say to ourselves, man, I can do this faith thing because there's not any opposition. It's just easy for me. I can do this. When there's opposition, when there's difficulty, when there's bumps in the road, that's when we have the tendency to want to let go and give up on God. Why is this happening? That shouldn't be happening to me. I love Jesus. I shouldn't have that kind of struggle. But the reality is, all of those difficulties of life, those harder realities, listen, they shape us through our endurance. Let me share this testimony with you. This comes from a lady who lives in the Middle East, Hadia Miramodi. Man, that's not an easy name to say. After 20 years of being a devoted Muslim, she heard the gospel. And she did what we say disciples all do. She turned to follow Jesus. She heard the gospel. It was good news. And instead of continuing down her Muslim path, she turned and followed Jesus. Now, living in the Middle East as a security analyst, she has all this kind of confrontation and interaction with several people who are suspected terrorists. So she's got a lot of moments of crisis kind of in her life and opportunities for her life to be influenced and shaped like Jesus. She wrote this recently in an interview. She said, "It is the Holy Spirit's power within me that gives me strength and courage I never experienced before salvation. I'm learning that a warrior for Christ must have the fruit of the Spirit, namely patience and self-control. Sometimes the Lord signals to me to stay quiet. This concept was entirely new to me. Before my salvation, I was the first to retaliate for an offense, real or perceived. Now, I'm waiting for a prompting of the Holy Spirit on how to respond. In this season," listen to this, "in this season of social and political unrest, the ability to hold my tongue has been incredibly valuable. So many people are reacting to the world based on their trauma and their emotions. The Lord is teaching me not to react that way. Listen to this. He is shaping me through prayer and his word how to respond more like Jesus." Listen, no matter what you face, if you stick with Jesus, even in those life gritty moments, the Spirit molds us and shapes us to be like Jesus, so stick with him. If it's hard and difficult right now, stick with him, all right? He'll shape your character. But here's something else that he'll shape in your life. Listen, he'll shape boldness. One of the biggest needs in our lives is to cultivate a sense of boldness so that we won't be ashamed of being identified with Jesus. It's easy for believers to be identified with Jesus when we are the majority in the culture. But when things start to shift, and listen, when faith is viewed as being undignified, then it gets harder and harder to stake your claim with Jesus. Because we can find ourselves in awkward situations where maybe Jesus is even a little bit embarrassing. because he says things and he holds to convictions that are no longer current. And the tendency will be when the culture gets loud and starts viewing faith as undignified, it just gets harder for us to be with Jesus. It's easier to be with the world. But we've got to make some choices about this because Jesus couldn't be any more clear on where he stands with this. Luke chapter 9, verse 26, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and that of the Father and the holy angels." So when you stick with Jesus, it shapes your character, but it also shapes a sense of boldness in us, and we need boldness in this hour we're living in. Amen? We need increased boldness in Jesus' name. Excuse me. Now, let's talk about how he strengthens us. Look at verse 7. "Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." So notice these descriptions of being rooted, root down into him, let your lives be built on him. Rooting and building our lives involves adhering and sticking with Jesus, fastening your life to Jesus. Now, part of rooting and building your life are some of the decisions and the habits that you kind of take up in your life. And so we would encourage you to root yourself and build yourself in Christ by simply doing things like what you're doing today, coming into a fellowship of believers, worshiping the Lord together, putting your life under the word. That's choosing to root yourself and build yourself on Jesus. But we also provide you resources so that you can do things like developing a daily habit of reading God's word. That reading plan that we supply on our website helps you to root and build and fasten your life to Jesus. Finding a people to do small group and life with. These are things that help you to root and build your life, fasten your life to him. Now, the benefit of us doing that is once you root and once you build your life in him, notice it says, then your faith will grow strong. Now, that's written in a passive voice, which means it's not you doing the strengthening, it's God doing the strengthening of you. When you root yourself and build yourself, God then will strengthen you in the soil of Christ. He makes you strong. He fortifies you. He nourishes you. He grows you. He establishes you. So my challenge to you is, man, listen, stick with Jesus. Let him strengthen you. Keep yourself rooted in the soil of Christ. That will make you strong for life. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8 gives us a really clear warning about keeping ourselves rooted in Christ. Listen to this. He says, "Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who keep themselves planted in Christ," we could say, "and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They are like trees planted on a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried for long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." Now, there's a big difference between a tumbleweed and an oak tree. We're familiar in West Texas with tumbleweeds. So when you see a tumbleweed, you see an oak tree, there's an obvious difference in their appearance. But the key difference between those two things is what you cannot see, and that is its root system. A tumbleweed has a simple root system that can be easily swept away by the wind. But when you're talking about that oak tree, it has a network of roots that are plunged deep within the soil that hold it strong so that it can bend in the wind and not be uprooted by life's breezes. Addressing people who are going through stiff winds in life, listen to what the prophet Isaiah promises. For those who grieve, instead of a spirit of despair, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That's the goal, guys. Stick with Jesus, send your roots down in him, fasten yourself to Christ so that when the breezes of life, the difficulties of life, the ups and downs, the twists, the ins and outs, the uncertainties, as those things happen, you will be fastened and strong and able to survive. Amen. Matt Chandler, who is a pastor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, was diagnosed with cancer about 10 years ago. And these two pictures show you the contrast between what he kind of normally looks like and then what he looked like when he was going through cancer therapy. Recently, he was reflecting on his journey of going through those stiff winds of cancer. And this is what he wrote. He said, "Walking with Jesus rooted our family, so when the storm came, we were established in faith, and my circumstance did not dictate where our joy was. It has been unbelievably powerful to remain strong in the face of a cancer diagnosis. In a season when things were as difficult and painful as you could imagine, when we didn't know which way was up and which way was down, we remained anchored. When the winds and rains of this storm came, it did not knock our house down because it was built on a solid foundation." When you stick with Christ, you are building your life on a solid foundation that will see you through all of life's challenges. So good. Number three, let's talk about how our identity can safeguard us. It can strengthen us and shape us, but it also can safeguard us. Look at verse 8. "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world." We're going to talk about that next week. "Rather than from Christ." Listen, part of our identity of being a Christ follower who sticks with Jesus is we get kept and guarded by Jesus. John 17, this is Jesus in his high priestly prayer. He says, "All of those you've given me, Father, I have kept, I have guarded them." It's great to know, listen, as we walk through real life threats, Jesus is keeping you and Jesus is guarding you. Because listen to me, there are some real threats in this world. It's part of the reason that Paul uses the term that he does when he says, "Don't let anyone capture you." He uses the most violent term available in his language to describe that kind of capturing. It was literally people were seizing people and selling them into slavery, and they called them men stealers. And so it's a violent taking away. We have the same thing that happens in this day and time, believe it or not. We call it human trafficking. And so we could read this verse this way: "Don't let anyone traffic you." I've done a lot of work, listen, in Eastern Europe, the country of Moldova, which has been raided for its children. Jill and I both have been in that place, and we've done seminars and helped people to kind of be aware and be prepared and be on guard. But it's the saddest thing in all the world to see children that are snatched and taken, sold on a market in Istanbul for things that would just disturb you to no end if you understood what they were doing with these kids. That there are real threats in our world. And listen, just as real as that is, there are real spiritual threats to your faith. There are spiritual predators that are after your faith. Paul frames one of these threats as empty philosophy. Now, the word philosophy just simply means a way of looking at life. So if you're enrolled in Philosophy 101, you don't have to run out and drop the class, all right? He's not against philosophy. He's not against a way of looking at life. What he is against are these kind of ways of looking at life that are not rooted in Christ. Those are a threat. He calls it high-sounding nonsense. The Message translation reads this way: big words and intellectual double talk. We have to be aware there's a lot of big words being spoken, a lot of empty nonsense, a lot of intellectual double talk, which is all intended to steal your faith. Jesus will safeguard you, but you got to stick with Jesus, because there's a very real threat to try to take away your faith. It's based on, he says, human thinking. Literally, that's the term tradition. But it's a little different than what we understand tradition. When we think about tradition, we think like Thanksgiving and Christmas decor and kind of habits of doing things. This word for tradition means an argument that is strengthened by person after person saying the same thing so that you get overwhelmed. When everybody's saying the same thing, you think to yourself, well, I must be wrong and they must be right because everybody else is saying the same thing. I'm saying something different, but they're all saying something else. And so you get compelled by the repetition of all of those voices and you dismiss what you think. Tradition. Now, this happens to us all the time in our culture because we continue to face voices that are repeating similar things, and we think, man, I'm missing out. I must have gotten it wrong somewhere, because they all can't be wrong. You may have seen this. It's kind of made its rounds on the internet, but it was a person who took news stories from across the country and merged them all together to demonstrate how people are all saying the same thing in a way to try to compel us to change what we think. Because surely they must be right because they're all saying the same thing. So watch this and just think about Paul's point. You can't be persuaded just because a bunch of people are saying the same thing. That doesn't strengthen their argument. All right? Watch this.
Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about the trouble in trying to be responsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Paul says, don't be taken captive by empty philosophy. which comes from human thinking, human tradition, which builds the strength of its argument just on repetition. Hearing it over and over from different sources, and you think to yourself, well, they must be right, and I must be wrong, because they're all saying the same thing. Be aware. Don't be taken captive. Whatever way of thinking that influences you that's not rooted in Christ is empty, it's deceitful, it's double talk. New Testament scholar Harold Songer made this observation about the passage that we've read today. He said the Colossians needed to realize that they were in danger of accepting a way of life that did not come from Christ, but from the culture around them. This danger is still a reality. Many of the motives, goals, practices Christians are tempted to adopt do not grow out of Christ. But the Christian is called to make the mind of Christ the soil of his life. Come on. Yep. If you keep yourself rooted in Christ, with him, and that's your identity, you're going to be shaped, you're going to be strengthened, you're going to be safeguarded for the journey ahead. So church, keep yourself rooted, built, strengthened, fastened in Christ. Be with him.